Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, 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 dungeon,
dungeon,
dungeon,
dungeon, dungeon,
dungeon. Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun, 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 dun.
And before I'm done with this, or actually before we get started, we have a big announcement. You've probably seen it on our social media and stuff, but we have our fifth anniversary spectacular show, October 7th at Carnegie Hall.
That's right.
Show ever.
Emily's music is going to be played live, and we're going to be doing a live play episode. You're going to get to see characters from all the different campaigns, or most of the campaigns. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of your favorite characters. So please come join us at Carnegie Hall on October 7th. It's a very big deal for us, and I hope it'll be a very big deal for all of us. I hope we'll see you.
We're going to have a good time.
And with that, let's get down to business. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by, of course, the returning lowly bailiff Jake.
Returning?
Thought it was going to be positive when you said returning.
You returned last month, but you're still returning.
I was going to say, this isn't your first one back.
I haven't forgiven you yet.
For taking paternity.
Yeah. I've not forgiven you for having a child.
You shouldn't have bonded with your child. You should have bonded with me.
We barely chilled at all in these past couple months.
Murph has been acting up a lot because he's been feeling neglected. He peed in a plant.
I'm a really needy friend.
He peed in a plant and he's been chewing on electrical cords.
Yeah.
Damn.
So,
you gotta snuggle with him, man.
So it's either boredom or anxiety, but both are on your shoulders.
And I've been howling.
They're both on me.
Which might just mean he's in heat.
All right.
Yeah. He's also humping a couch, but he did that before.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
It'd be abnormal if he stopped doing that.
Right. And with that, hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presenting. Residing. And our first case comes from one named Pookie. Pookie writes, "To the eternally honorable judges and the precious newborn baby bailiff Jake."
Mm.
Okay.
Oh.
That's true. Jake was reborn.
So your paternity leave was for yourself?
Yeah.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Me.
You're a
yes.
baby. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Jake is a phoenix. Yeah.
Which is kind of impressive that I actually have a job as a bailiff, considering that I'm an infant.
Yeah.
You're a baby lift.
I bring you the case of Cum University.
Off to a good start.
Enchant us, Pookie. Enchant
us. Germs.
I am currently running a campaign with some friends that takes place almost entirely within a large city. I have named this city Cambria. I decided to host a world-building session pre-campaign to get everyone familiar with the setting. One detail I went over was the local university, the Cambrian University of Magic.
You fucked up.
One of my players...
You're done.
was quick to point out that it spells a dirty word, parentheses, cum.
Yeah, no, we got it.
So
we got
polite, Pookie.
You're fucking toast,
I love
Pookie.
You. I'm obsessed with you. A dirty word in parentheses.
Cum. And we all had a good laugh. Yeah. I then went on to explain that there are a few sub-departments of this school, all pertaining to a different class, all with similar naming conventions. There is the Arcane Science School, parentheses, ass. The Bardic University of Music, Bum, mm-hmm. the Paladin Great. Oathkeepers Organization, Pooh, mm-hmm. the okay. Druidic Institute and Circle of Knowledge, Dick, and of course, the Faith's United Clerical Knowledge University, which is fuck you.
Okay. So this is all planned.
Pookie wanted this.
Yeah, I judged you too soon.
I think it's fun if they had a fun time with Cum mm-hmm. University, and then you're mm-hmm. like, all right, I'm going to hit them with a bunch more. Dirty
you know, I gotta say, mm-hmm. they're losing me a little bit with all the different stuff. Because to me, I think it's much funnier to like major in physics at Cum University than it is to be like at the fuck you school of Cum University.
Fluid dynamics at Cum
yeah.
University.
yeah, it needs like a little bit of subtlety. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Well, we all had a good laugh. One of my players then asked, are all of these actually part of the game? Doesn't that ruin the tone a little? The rest of the world is fairly realistic and down to earth, so I can see where they're coming from, but I explained that cum isn't really a focus of the story and is more of a background detail to flesh out the world. Consider and jokey Easter egg. Is the mm-hmm. player right? Does this ruin immersion too much, or am I allowed to have my silly fun?
I would say it really is so background. Mm-hmm. I think if you yourself were really pushing it to the foreground, then perhaps that's why the player said something. But I think that...
Is this a magic school acronym, campaign and your character like has to do the fuck you track yeah. of Bard School or whatever?
Right. I feel like if you would just introduce Cum University, then all of the players might have had a nice time coming up with the different departments. Like, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. When this was first introduced, I thought you did it by accident. And yeah, everyone
which was
like,
super funny.
Which was
yeah,
very, which was funny.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Well, I think, okay, it's possible because based on the details we were given, it's possible that it came up organically.
And then everyone they were kept like, joking around.
Everyone had fun with it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, all right, I'll give them all cheeky names. My only cheeky tweak would be you don't spell it out. You let them figure out the acronym.
That is yeah. That
and
is
then you
university.
Just never bring it up ever again.
I think you can call them these things, but like as the DM, you like never break. You just like say them to the straight face every session.
Yeah.
It's never funny to you.
Yeah, I gotta say, I think you keep it at Cum University and you don't get too into the weeds with other stuff.
I think it doesn't sound world breaking because the only way that I see this coming up is as a one time aside and then you just don't really have to say it again. However, if it's getting hit too much, then I can understand someone being...
This is session zero because like while one player might be like, this is breaking immersion, another one might be like, oh great, I'm a professor at Cum University and I'm from the ass department. I'm getting a secondary degree in boners or whatever.
Yeah.
Which now that I think about it, that's actually really good.
That's so
pretty
good.
Minoring in boners. So good. Minoring in boners is good, actually.
Majoring in boners, not funny.
Not
majoring
funny,
in
not
cum funny. And minoring in boners. Yeah. Seems like it's the other way around.
Wow. I only saved it again. Laugh. At first, I was being sarcastic with saying that was funny, but now I actually think it's funny. Yeah, you just never know what you're going to get when you go this dumb.
Yeah,
you just never know what you're going to get when you go this
dumb.
I'll
say, if it made you giggle while you were writing it, because like prepping these things takes a fucking long time, and if it gave you like a little respite, like maybe you say it, maybe you lose it for the main campaign, but like you got your giggles out during the session zero, no harm, no foul, I say.
Yeah, if it's just part of world building, you just have it in the background, I wouldn't go too hard on...
Don't set the first adventure in the
combat. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just you say the full name and people can joke about it being Cum University, I think is the way to handle that joke.
But also if it's session zero, I don't know that that's the time for your player to be coming at you hard with a, hey, that broke immersion. Yeah, exactly. Maybe that player should wait a couple sessions before they start being generalizations. Maybe it was a simple jokey icebreaker to get everyone comfortable at the table.
Well,
and that player should have held
Have to say, to defend that player, this DM did have a paragraph about all the different tracks that you could do at Cum University that were all different spelled out. Various naughty words.
The thing is, you hit a home run.
Yeah,
with
you already did it.
C-U-M. Yeah. And then what are we doing?
You get
a home cum.
Yeah.
And now we're getting like a base on balls, a bunch.
That's it's
like
right. Once you cum, you don't want to keep working it, right? Because sometimes you need
right. Just let us bathe in the afterglow.
True. Fix yourself a sandwich. You're done.
I know.
Yep. So does this mean we're punishing Pookie? Pookie's not allowed to have fun?
I think we're punishing Pookie.
I think we're giving Pookie the note that they wanted.
I think that the players within their right in session zero to be like, hey, we talked several paragraphs about this university and all of the different tracks. I personally would like to play some kind of heroic character that's not a complete goofball.
I built my character with a tragic backstory.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he fits into this
world. Oh my God.
You remember losing your brother. Cunnilingus was his name.
Yeah. I still think there's a way to do it without being like, hey, after one session, I think that you're breaking immersion. I like yours better being like, I kind of wanted to play. I just feel like there's another way you can approach it.
Yeah. Well, we could vote against each other. We don't have to be all on the same side.
No, I ultimately am going to root against Pookie, but I do love you. Dirty word. Parentheses.
Yeah. I think we need to punish Pookie to attending a class at Cum University.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
That's cool. Yeah. But like auditing it so you don't even get credit.
Auditing. Yeah. And let's use Murph's suggestion, and you're auditing a fluid dynamics class.
There you go.
Instead of a cheeky one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. And attendance does count towards the grade, so you really can't like phone it in.
You'll never be able to graduate summa cum laude.
There it is. So ordered. Our next case comes from Catherine C. Catherine writes, may it please the three esteemed justices of the court and, quote, Jake. I mean, that is definitely the name.
Quotation.
I present to you the case of the hopeless romantic player and the reluctant DM. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, after our second session of the campaign that I DM for, one of my players, who plays a naive, sheltered tiefling, came to me about wanting to pursue a romantic relationship for her character. Yeah. She specifically said she wanted a, quote, romantic boy next door type who knows how to treat me sweetly.
Okay, that's like a pretty heavy ask, right?
That's like a Fall Out Boy lyric.
Really?
Treat me sweetly definitely sounds like some sort of email work to me.
I initially just brushed off her request. However, later we were watching Pride and Prejudice together, and during the romantic hand flex scene, my friend loudly sighed and said she couldn't wait for her character to meet her own Mr. Darcy. I expressed surprise that she sounded so assured that it was going to happen. She was incredulous in return and reminded me of her previous request for, quote, a romantic boy next door type who knows how to treat me sweetly. I let her know that I'm happy to have her character explore romantic options at the table, but her character will have to put in the work to organically develop those relationships with the NPCs, and she shouldn't expect that I can just present her with her dream guy. Now I worry that I took away my player's happiness over something that might have been relatively minor at the end of the day. So, justices, I plead for your judgment. Was I right to temper my player's expectations, or should I just give her her Mr. Darcy?
Okay.
You can't just get your Darcy.
Yeah. I know. Well, it's hard, right? Because it's like performing is different from playing. And when you're playing, maybe there is more wish fulfillment. And I know a lot of D&D that people see is kind of just dating sims. But like, I don't like using your DM like a vending machine.
Totally. Yeah. DM's also allowed to be like, hey, I don't like know how to play romance scenes and stuff. Like, I personally am very like any romantic thing we've done on like NADPOD and stuff have generally just been like, I don't know, like the culmination of like the story or something like that. We very rarely have like very long relationships where the characters are around each other for a very long time.
Yeah. Us role playing boyfriend and girlfriend. Yeah, like sometimes fighting.
Yeah. It's like, it's not what I enjoy doing. It's not totally what I feel comfortable doing. And it's okay for you as the DM to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do Pride and Prejudice with you. I'm not your vending machine.
Those are like long, you know, back and forths where you're like speaking very eloquently. And like, to the DM's point, like, you don't get shirtless Firth until like episode 5 of the series. You gotta work up to shirtless Firth. There's a lot of back and forth where they don't fucking like each
back
other.
Back and forth.
There's a lot of back and forth.
There's a lot of back and forth.
Uh-huh. Too much back and forth.
I would say the only...
A lot of Colin and Mouse, yeah.
The only place that this DM went wrong is when the player made the request, and instead of being like, wow, that's a bit much. Maybe we can compromise. Mm-hmm. The DM just said, I ignored it.
Right.
Yeah. Which is like, you kind of let that sit there and let kind of, not that your player should have had these expectations of you, but you shouldn't let that stuff like hang there.
I think the player treated it like it was their birthday and they were like expecting to open the present when like the reality
is weird.
As a DM, you can be like, yeah, if it comes up, it comes up. Like, I'll think about it. Like, you're allowed to say, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a new player. I feel like these are things that you learn about D&D as you go on too. You know, it's not unlike just like going to your first session and being like, oh, like I want a plus one sword. Like, how do I get a magic
weapon? Yeah.
And you're just like, maybe you just don't really know that it's not easy to come by the things that you want in D&D, or that's the point. Like, that can be a long-term goal, but not just like next session there's a sweet little darling in the bar.
I'm having a hard time feeling like I can honestly weigh in on this because it kind of bumps up against my personal tastes, which are I would much rather organically discover a love interest than have one fed to me. So I can't, I don't know that I can be like objective about this.
I think that you guys are right in that there's probably a newer player or somebody who's watched a lot of D&D and maybe thinks that, because you do, you know, if you're going to do like romance stuff and everything, sometimes you will talk to your DM about like what like your boundaries are, like what kind of stuff you do want to do. So it is okay to go to your DM and be like, hey, this is kind of like what I'm thinking or something. But the DM can also be like, well, that's kind of not my thing. So we do need to find something in the middle.
I've played a lot of D&D. I've never once requested a love interest, nor told the D&D what my type is.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's,
you don't do that?
It's a lot.
I'm texting Murph all the time being like, I need to get my dipstick.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why. Yeah, Murph leaves me on red when I text him about that.
Like, Murph, Saul needs to get fucking wet.
Yeah. You need to send me an NPC that's my type, dude.
You're giving me nothing.
You're giving me nothing, man.
Saul's looking to catch some flies.
No, I'm trying to see where the other person's coming from. Yeah. But overall,
I would think new to D&D, right?
Yeah. New to D&D. I think that like these things are better when they come up kind of organically. But then there are also like there are games that are specifically, you know, designed for that. Yeah. There are games that are not D&D that are more like dating sim games that literally like the point is to get different love points and whatnot and connections with other people. So this player might be wanting to do something more like that, which might not necessarily
This player should really check out Good Society, which is a TTRPG that Abria used some of the mechanics for Court of Fae and Flowers, and that was all literally Pride and Prejudice kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So they should try that.
So I think we're all on the DM side here.
I think I'm also bumping up against this because the idea of requesting a person who doesn't really have their own personality and just is about how they treat you.
Treats me sweet.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're asking for a familiar a little bit.
Just a familiar boyfriend.
A familiar boyfriend.
Of course, at level 3, I get a boyfriend as one of my class perks. I'm thinking like, a boy next door type character.
I'm a fighter, subclass, serial monogamous.
And I will be needing to cast spells through him.
Aren't there like a summoning spell where you get like kind of like some kind of spectral?
Oh my God, that's really funny.
You know, you say, all right, player, you describe what this, what this thing is.
Because they are so specific about what they want, it's almost unfair to the DM. Just saying to a DM, I'm interested in a love interest. Cool, you throw stuff their way. But like coming up with it so specifically is kind of unfair to the DM because it's like if you don't get exactly what they're looking for, then suddenly you feel like you're failing them. It's too much.
I think they're just on different wavelengths, and I think you you just need to come clean and just. Well, I think you already did the second time you guys had the discussion. I don't think you have not wronged this player in any way, and that's not really how D&D works.
Yeah.
You don't tell the DM, I want to meet this kind of NPC.
Yeah, I think it's...
That's not...
It's
yeah.
The vending machine aspect of it.
As a DM, you're creating characters that you want to play, even though you're not a PC, you're still creating characters. And if you don't want to play Mr. Darcy, that's fine. I also don't want to play Mr. Darcy.
I wonder how we punish this player.
They get rejected by Colin Firth.
Do you know what I think? You know what I think that would actually be the punishment is that they would not actually like the NPC boyfriend that they think they want.
Right. a boy next door type who knows how to treat them sweetly.
Yeah.
That's just like no personality. Just
exactly.
Kind of like dotes
I
on
think
them.
Four episodes in, they'd be like, this guy is not bringing much to the table. And he's a liability. Yeah. He has commoner
stats. Just Balnor, but less strong and just holds doors open.
Commoner.
And just like, hey,
so they're wrong, but their punishment is that they actually do get what they want.
Do get what they
I think,
want.
Yeah. I think they'll find out that like the coming up with the idea of who you want to date doesn't play out like you think it would.
It's perfect. Okay, so ordered.
Yeah.
And our next case comes from Amelia. Amelia writes, to the oh-so honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner, and the oh-so average Bailiff Joe.
Whoa.
Hey, you're insulting a baby.
Yeah.
That's rude.
Yeah, Jake was just born.
Come
Jake
on.
Was literally Dude, give him just a break. Born a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Is this what the world is like?
He sounds smart and well spoken for a baby, but he is a baby nonetheless.
I ask you a simple question. Is a hang glider a projectile? While in a small mountain town, our party's bard/paladin Ivrath wanted to go hang gliding, the town's main tourist attraction.
Ooh.
They were barreling through the air at an established 80 miles per hour and lost control. After brainstorming ways to keep them from crashing and taking max falling damage, our monk asked if they could use their deflect missiles ability on the hang glider.
Oh,
our
sick.
Argument was that the hang glider was coming at us much like a projectile, and arrows, a common D&D projectile, thank you, travel at around 150 miles per hour.
Wow.
So an 80 mile per hour hang glider should be easy to handle. The DM rejected our idea, saying that a hang glider is heavier than an arrow, but would a much heavier rock from a catapult not be a projectile? Not to mention the fact that projectiles are pretty vaguely defined in D&D, and the deflect missiles ability is so infrequently usable for monks. Ivrath ended up being fine, but we still hold that our plan should have worked out and that our monks should have gotten to have their cool moment for once. So we come to grovel at your feet and beg for your righteous judgment.
Yeah, let the monk have a cool moment for once.
The only thing I could think is that like it does open a... It opens a door that... I don't know if the DM wants to open, because it's not the weight of the hang glider that bugs me. It's that gives me pause, rather. It's the size of the hang glider and the idea of someone catching a hang glider with one hand.
But yes, a vehicle. That you could just catch a vehicle that someone's riding it.
I feel like the submitter is arguing the wrong point.
Oh,
yeah.
The stuff is already... Okay. To answer your question... How do you stop a giant rock that's been shot out of a catapult? Surely that is a projectile. I would agree that is a projectile.
Because it's been projected.
Right, it's been projected.
it's but projecting its feelings onto you,
The way you factor in, well, a monk can't stop that, is because there's a damage threshold for all of this. So deflect missiles. Starting at third level, use your reaction to deflect or catch the missile when you are hit by a ranged weapon attack. So first off, your DM could sit there and say, not a ranged weapon attack.
Yeah.
But I would still allow this, because it's all here. When you do so, the damage you take from the attack is reduced by 1d10 plus your dex modifier plus your monk level. So what the DM would have done if they were having kind of fun with it, I think like there's a way to allow this in a way that still honors the mechanics. Mm-hmm. I think you have the monk take the damage that the hang glider
would... And then they basically shrug it off.
They shrug off like 20 of
you're talking about like the
70
falling
damage or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so it's like,
okay,
if you want to stand in the way, if you want to say, hey, I'm going to deflect missile on a boulder from a catapult, maybe that sucker is going to do 50 damage.
Yeah,
and your deflect missiles is going to take away 20 of that. Cool. Then you take 30 damage. That's
up. I think I was confusing it with the ability where a monk can throw it back at someone.
That's if you soak up all the damage, you can throw it back.
Which you wouldn't do anyway.
I see. So then my issue doesn't even come into play, because I was picturing throwing a hang glider.
Right. Well, it's like you catch a bullet, but it's still going to fuck up your hands real bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. So I think that you're right. I think that you should have been able to shrug off some damage.
Mm-hmm. I think by the book, the DM is correct, but I don't see why they couldn't rule it in a fun way like this. Like, this is just totally a way that you work with your friends to come up with creative solutions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to deviate by the book here and say that even though It's not from a ranged weapon attack. It makes sense that a monk would be able to slow down something that is flying at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
also, like, monks are a lot about, like, kind of shrugging off damage that they should have taken.
Specifically about, like, using, like, the momentum of your opponent against you.
Right.
And all right.
So
we're all on your side.
I think we're mostly on your side. If you thought that you should have just been able to have the monk shrug off all the damage, I disagree. I think you literally add it up
and put it down.
However much the hang glider was going to fall for, that's the damage that this giant hang glider does as it throttles down into the earth. And you see how much of that you can shrug off.
Yeah.
And then maybe you split the rest of the damage between the person on the hang glider and the person who tried to slow it down.
I mean, yeah. I greatly sympathize because I feel like anytime anything is launched at us in the campaign, I'm just like, can I catch it?
Yeah. And I think we generally allow you. And if you beat the damage, you shrug it off. And if you don't beat the damage, you take the damage. Like, it's all.
And that's just being
and that's
a monk,
funny.
Yeah.
That's funny to see.
And that's funny shit.
Mm-hmm. So assuming Jake's on board, we all agree with you. Jake, how do you weigh in? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to abstain, actually.
Wow.
What? Why?
Okay. It's okay. He's still learning the ropes.
Coward. He's just a baby.
I'm just a baby.
You shrugged your baby shoulders. Oh, okay. Because you need a nap and a snack. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I need to be burped. I need to be held, burped, swaddled.
You do need to be burped.
I do. I actually do need
you
to
do
be
need,
burped.
You do need to be burped. Confirmed.
Have you burped your baby yet, Jake?
Oh, yeah, she can do it.
So she's burped more times than you have in your life.
10 weeks old and better than me already.
Yeah. So we're on your side, but I do think you're kind of arguing the wrong thing. I think you should be like, look, normally it's ranged weapon attack, but can we do something fun here? Can I take off however much damage the D10 plus dex plus monk level? Because, you know, I don't know. It's D&D. Everybody's magic. Literally, like, monks are like, they're
special
magic.
Muscle powers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I guess like the first draft is just to like launch a hang glider at your DM, but that seems a little dangerous, so maybe we could come up with like an alternate punishment.
Well, you put them in an out of control hang glider. You put the DM in the hang glider and you say, don't you wish I could catch you, but I'm not even going to try.
Don't you wish I could catch you?
Hang glider in a windstorm.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Wait put for them their, in, one in, of those wind sky, in one of those skydiving wind tunnels.
You know, in a that's sky, really good. Yeah, hang glider in a skydiving wind tunnel.
Or a tornado, a cyclone.
Yeah. Oh.
Hang
gliding in tornadoes.
I was thinking sort of in a controlled environment. That way you have your finger on the button and you can say, whoops, wish I could help you, but people can't help other people on
hang
gliding.
That's great.
But that has been established by your rules as they flip around in a hang glider inside of a wind tunnel.
Man is an island specifically when he's on a hang glider.
Murph, that's really clean, but I like Jake's suggestion of just letting him loose in a twister.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
We can do them both.
That's true,
So double ordered. Our next case comes from I'm Too Picante. I'm Too Picante writes, to the honorable justices and Sonic fan fiction juggernauts and the homie Jake. Well, honestly, at this point, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I am a DM for a campaign in Eberron for a party of three.
Cool.
My adventurers were against a group of bandits during one of my combat encounters. The party ended up taking down all of the bandits except the leader. The leader was next in initiative and was nearly dead. I knew he was going to go down once his turn was over because he had a condition on him that took his health away after his turn. I figured I would turn this into a cinematic moment by describing a dramatic attack towards one of my players, a Warforged, who was also on death's door.
Ooh.
I rolled a d20 and paused for dramatic effect. I did that DM look towards the Warforged PC that was uncomfortably long so as to give the sense of dread. But before I could say the leader missed, the party leaned over the DM screen to look at the result. I never got to triumphantly reveal the role. I'm glad I got them on the edge of their seats to the point to do such an action, but were the players in the wrong to look behind the DM screen where my notes, rolls, and almonds are put on display?
Maybe they were just hungry.
If they saw your freaking almonds, then you have a right to be angry.
That's just a great move in general. It's a real power play just to like take someone's almonds and like pop it in your mouth without asking.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that As long as it was all in good, I ultimately I'm siding with you. I don't think a player should really, under any circumstance, be looking over the DM screen.
It's a no-no.
I could see a situation where I do this and you guys jump over my screen and look at it. So I can't go in on them too hard.
Right. Yeah. It sounds really bad until you imagine us doing it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that could for sure happen. Yeah,
plug up your nose and your ears and your eyes with almonds.
Yeah, whenever we do it, mm-hmm. it's all in good fun and we're laughing and having fun. Whenever mm-hmm. I imagine other people do it, everyone's so serious.
There's a lot of people driving home in silence afterwards.
No, but I think I do think that's a major faux pas is looking behind the DM mm-hmm. screen.
Yeah.
Because you're the you're setting the scene. You're the narrator here, and you need that ability to be able to sort of pace everything and pace the drama. Because those guys might still be in like kind of rowdy, fun, kind of silly mood, and this is you want to like kind of bring it down to mm-hmm. set it up for the next thing. And if they're jumping over your screen, that's setting the mood in a different direction.
Not to mention, like, then they'll see all your affirmations, like, "You got this, bro. Yeah. You can do this."
Yeah,
and I believe in me.
The framed picture of Emily that I have back behind here,
and then like the little stopwatch that's like, "You can have your next almond in 20 seconds."
Yeah,
and you're like you got your almond watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not my almond watch.
And the alarm goes off constantly every time.
Some people have an Apple Watch. Murph has an almond watch.
We have to edit it out. It takes forever.
It's mechanized too. Yeah. There's a little voice.
The show is completely unedited except for the almond watch.
Good job, Murph. You may have 3 almonds
every 20 seconds.
It's randomized a little bit too, so like it changes up slightly, so it'll be like, "Attaboy Murph, keep it up. 2 almonds this time."
It's interrupted so many grave, hard-won scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I think there's kind of no excuse to mm-hmm. peek over the screen.
So it's pretty cut and dry.
They're in the wrong.
Like an almond that you cut for a salad. Yeah,
this is almond cut and dry.
Right. This is dry like an almond.
This is dry like an
Can you imagine if you like are building up to a dramatic role and then you just like toss a little M&M out in the middle?
It's on the M. You can use it as a coin.
Yeah,
you can use an M&M as a coin.
You can use an M&M for a luck check.
Yeah,
for sure.
You can flip an M&M.
Yeah.
You could use an M&M for a death save, could you not?
Yeah, you could.
We can and we do.
Well, you can't because you have slightly higher chances of saving because it's on a 10 or higher, not an 11
or
higher.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to use an M&M, just let it be known.
I think it might actually be like more randomized because like unless you've got like a perfectly spheroid M&M, like it's really obtuse. It's like there's a lot of little bumps and imperfections to an M&M, especially a peanut M&M. That's going to
you couldn't use a peanut M&M to roll.
You couldn't. It would never stop rolling.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard. Okay, peanut butter,
I'm just a hard-ass DM when it comes to my M&Ms. I'm a DM&M.
I think you'd have to do a regular M&M and you make it a coin flip, but that is still harder than a death save. Death save has one
Not
more.
To mention, every once in a while you get like a real kind of like unassertive M&M that might just shatter.
Oh, that the M is like not...
Or you might toss it and it just shatters in half. It means that you automatically get up and get all your spells back, all your health back.
If you shatter the M&M.
If you shatter the M&M.
Well, that's like you're breaking. Yeah, you're going against fate.
You lose the 1 and the 20 on the M&M. But you're saying if the shell breaks, then that's a nat 20.
Yeah. Then it's more than a nat 20. You get all your spells, all your features, all your hit points.
It seems like people are just going to be spiking M&Ms at the table.
I know. That's what it turns into. Everyone trying to throw it as high as they can.
Seems dangerous.
Can you imagine if you're like rolling for your death save and you're DM's like, no, use the M&M.
Oh my God. I'm picturing like tossing it into my mouth and then spitting it out. That's how I roll it. Mm-hmm.
You're spitting at fate itself.
Tastes like new life to me.
All right, so we got
the yellow M&M being like, it's not your time yet.
We got to punish these players. Right?
Yeah. Okay,
so their dice are going to be replaced by M&M.
That's great.
Is that a punishment? That feels like a reward.
Well, it's a punishment because you're going to get snacky and you're going to run out of dice, you know?
Yeah, and everyone knows if you run out of dice, you have to go home.
Then your character permadies. If you run out of dice, your character
those are your death saves.
Right.
Give me your dice, dude.
Yeah, you get 3 M&Ms. Those are your death saves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're They're D2s unless they're used for death saves.
I would never fucking survive.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Your dice are M&Ms, so ordered. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
And our next case comes from S.E. Star Trek, and they write, to the Crit Court Counselors and Jake, I've been playing with the same group for 3 years with our same friend as the DM.
Nice.
He has been a PC several times before beginning his DM journey with us and has really come into his own as a storyteller.
Great.
That's awesome.
However, I have noticed that he often uses mechanics out of nowhere as ways to advance the narrative. For example, after defeating some goblins, two of them escaped to warn their clan. When we tried to chase them, he said that it was difficult terrain and the goblins had a speed of 80 feet, even though that had not been the case during actual combat.
Tiny little goblins with a speed of 80 feet.
These guys are wicked fast. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You understand? They're so fast that it's like a cartoon character. Yeah. They all the dirt under their feet
these are
becomes difficult terrain in the wake.
Murphbot rules. the goblins can actually disengage as a free action.
It's time for your own.
They have the shield spell, so even if you shoot at them with arrows, they cannot be hit unless you roll a 23. Oh, that's a 24. they use the hide as a bonus action.
Oh my god. Okay. The two escaping goblins ended up creating a large-scale battle of the town versus the clan, which he'd been prepping for months. Mm. In the beginning, most of us did not know enough for this to be a problem, but now several players have become experienced enough to realize the abrupt conditions make no sense and argue quite frequently. However, I find myself in the center of the arguments because I side with my DM and his sweaty story, even though I know what he's doing is not technically correct. Am I wrong for standing with the DM, or are my fellow PCs right to be frustrated?
I think that sometimes the DM is gonna have something they want to do and they're gonna make it happen, and that's just kind of that's being a PC, knowing that they're doing more work than you.
Yeah, that's part of it, but I do think you gotta button it up.
I think that I also see through what this DM is doing, but sometimes you're just like, all right, they have something they really want to do, and yeah. I'm here for that.
Maybe I'm like being too nice and giving a generous read to the DM, but to me, it seems like they're just trying to make everything perfect. Like, they want to get to that, like, eventual encounter. So, like, they just, like, don't want there to be any pauses, any breaks, any friction. They just, like, want everything to, like, happen and, like, everything to be seamless.
And
so,
to me, that's why I'm ruling against them.
Exactly. That's, they should let it be sweaty.
Yeah. I think that you can rule against them, but me, as someone who's mostly a PC, I feel like when I'm there and this happens, I smile and nod.
Just drench your friends. Be sweaty. Let it be sweaty.
Yeah, I think, though, like, unlike in other cases, I've said there are no heroes in this story. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of heroes in this story.
Whoa! And I'm one of them? Thank you, Merv. I think that Lee Axford is probably the biggest hero here.
Can I be Green Lantern?
Yes, you can be the Green Lantern.
Sick.
Whoa.
Can I be the Green M&M?
Everyone can be whatever green superhero they want to be.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll just be a leprechaun.
Okay, you can just be a leprechaun. Great.
Come, my green team. Let us go.
The greatest hero of all.
What I was going to say.
You know, one of those tiny little men that hide their treasure.
They're also the horror
no
movie.
More honor.
Yes.
Leprechaun.
Leprechaun, your mastery of luck has aided us greatly this day.
What I was going to say, you maniacs, is that... I think your instinct to stick up for your DM is good because, like I'm saying, the DM does put in a lot of work, so they're just trying to have kind of their story come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, as the DM, if you do want, like, everybody has things that they want to do, or if they're thinking about the next leg of the battle or the next story beat, and you do need to work within some kind of mechanics or some kind of consistency to make it not feel like complete bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, look, the players have a bag of tricks. They can cast invisible. They can Misty Step. They can have abilities that make them go fast. Like, have somebody cast Expeditious Retreat or something. You have to be able to kind of show your work.
Yeah.
It's like being a DM is kind of like showing your math homework to the teacher. It's just like how you get the answer kind of matters. You know what I mean? Like, if these goblins get away and it's because you say they have 90 speed out of nowhere or 80 speed out of nowhere and they just run away, that is completely unsatisfying for the players. But if there are rogues in the party, if there are bards in the party, if there are wizards in the party or whatever, and they see the goblins using similar tactics to what they do, if they have one goblin stays behind and fights and does a grapple to grab the person who's chasing the other goblin who's getting away, who casts Expeditious Retreat or something, that's so much more satisfying if you can see the work that went into it. And then as the DM, if the goblin doesn't get away, that's fine. The other bad guys find out some other way. You don't have to cheese it and force
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the goblins' brothers could want to avenge them or something
like that. You should be able to show your work, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's fully fair, and I think it's good advice for a DM, but as a player, I think I don't know who I side with in this story. I feel like the person who wrote in was like, I just feel like I got to stand with a DM. That's where I would be.
I gave my generous read, and I'm going to give my... disingenuous read.
Okay.
Is that a word?
Whoa.
Nope. Greedy read? Yeah. Greedy?
My greedy read. I like that. Yeah.
Thrifty, frugal king.
These are great. My greedy read here is the DM wants to win. That they want to like, they can't stand their plans being foiled. They have to win, and they're like kind of making up reasons to win. And I don't like it. Yeah. I think we got to stick the green team on them.
Yeah.
You'll never find our gold.
Leprechaun, throw gold coins at him. Keep him from getting away.
No, I can't part with it.
Green M&M, roll yourself like a boulder.
What? What's the green M&M's voice?
So, I think you are, again.
That's so hot.
All heroes in the story, all heroes in the story, including the green M&M. I think it's very nice of you to stand up for your DM, and I think you're doing a good thing. But I will say that, like, I understand the frustration of players.
Yeah.
So I am ruling against this DM kind of lightly. I think that, like, I get what's going on.
Lightly. Maybe your closeness with the DM lets you sidebar with the DM. You know, the DM is like, hey, thanks for standing up for me. And then you say, yeah, totally. They have a point, but I'm with you. I'm with
There's
you.
There's some voice cracking. They have a point.
Yeah.
And there might be somebody there. Wait, what they say? I just wear the little, you know. thought.
Yeah. I think if
so
you
we're
need,
punishing the DM?
Yeah, if you need your goblins to get away or something, you need to like put enough abilities
yeah, I guess
to,
the DM
in there
is
to
I
like
punish.
Drop, you know, like weigh the scale in your favor, not just fully put your hand on the scale in front of everyone.
Should we punish them to study the game more at Cum University?
They do have to do a few semesters at in the ass track.
So ordered. And our next case comes from Anarka S. To the sweet and beautiful judges and the bailiff dad, I guess. I recently joined a game and I'm a baby, not a dad. Recently, I joined a game and pitched a witch class, which is just multi-classing wizard and druid, but reflavoring a bunch of stuff. Cool. I want my character to have to brew a bunch of their spells, but the DM says I need to take levels in alchemist in order to do that. Oh. I'd understand if I was handing out spells before the battle, but all I'm doing is having my witch throw components into a cauldron and then splashing or scooping the liquid and using that as a means of delivery. Am I wrong to have my witch be splashing magic soup around the battle?
You're in your cauldron era. You're cackling. You've got warts on your nose. We get it.
Yeah, I would say if the DM was worried about you just like handing out your like spells or whatever, just like making potions, I get that. But it sounds like you're just reflavoring.
Just flavor.
It's just flavor.
It's hard to know, right? Because maybe you are pitching something that is. They're thinking, oh, that's like too powerful. Like if you're like, I'm a wizard druid, but they both use wisdom instead of intelligence or something like that. Like maybe
the submitter specifically said like that they weren't using it as potions, right? That it was just
right. They're not handing it out before.
Yeah, they're
battle.
Not handing it,
it
out.
It sounds like they're just doing this.
So I think like, you should be able to flavor it kind of however you want.
You should be able to savor your flavor.
Savor the flavor.
This sounds rad, though. I'm picturing like a portable battle cauldron that you're like mixing things in like on the battlefield, like during combat. That's sick.
Super sick to just have hot stew by your side while you're fighting.
Absolutely.
You should be able to flavor your stew however you want it.
If I were your DM, I would absolutely roll with this.
The sticklerness around, you know, like, I don't know, if somebody wanted to be an arcane archer and they were just like, can I do it, but have like a, I have like an arquebus or something. I have like a magical gun or something like that. And then being like, nope, it says you're an archer, you're an arcane archer. And it's just like, okay, but why take that away from somebody if that's what they want? Right.
I gotta be honest, if someone came to me and they were like, I want to play a witch who's brewing stews, but I want to make it an arcane archer. So I'm throwing stew at people. I would be like, Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
I want to found Hale and Hardy in this universe.
I would allow like reflavoring even more severe than this. Certainly, like this is just to be like just flavor for how you cast your spells. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's also weird because they're not just saying no, but they're saying like you have to like change your character
to do that.
In order to do
this.
You have to multi-class, and they already are multi-class.
Yeah. Again, if the submitter didn't say that they weren't handing this stuff out as potions, then I might see where the DM's coming from. But it's not necessary. Like if somebody wanted to play a character and they're like, I want to play a warforged who has, some kind of like magic charged backpack that lets them cast their spells or something. So they're a wizard, but it works in kind of like an artificer way, but they cast spells.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
You can just say yes. It's not a big deal. They don't need to take a level of artificer. Who the fuck cares?
I love it when people really, really make something their own.
It's just, I don't know why you would discourage creativity in this way.
Your DM is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless this person is just lying to us.
Oh, yeah. If you're lying to us.
Hey, if anyone's been lying to us in any of these cases, which I'm sure has never happened, but if it happened out of the hundreds of cases we've done, let's say it's happened once, okay?
There's a PS here. Anarka says, PS, I'm fucking with you guys. I don't even play D&D. Hate the show.
Why would you say that?
Patreon.
How many people have written PS I hate the show that you haven't read?
Scroll through, Jake.
There it is. I'm Tu Picante. P.S. Just messing, y'all. P.S. Hate the show.
Dude, we're just getting this whole show.
I've never
just
played
trolled.
D&D, and I don't ever want to. Hate the show.
Never heard of D&D. Hate the show.
I'm a Powered by Apocalypse stan. Fuck y'all.
Wow. P.S.
Don't even know who you guys are.
I paid $5 to troll your ass.
We've been wrecked.
What? How many people have lied to us and hated the show?
Wait, how many people on our Patreon are doing this just to fuck with us?
I'm scrolling through really quick. It looks like everyone.
We're just getting trolled.
Everyone has a PS.
All right.
Okay, so I guess we got punished.
So we got punished, but also we need to punish this DM.
We are going to punish the DM.
I mean, let's splash him with stew.
Okay.
Yeah, you're taking him to a soup plantation and fucking up their day.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, since they hate stew so much, maybe they're not allowed to have any heated liquid anymore.
No hot showers. No coffee.
Whoa.
Yeah, guess what? No more coffee unless you want to have cold brew, then that's fine.
That's pretty good still.
Right. That's a loophole for sure.
They could also have to make you a what was the love interest, a talentless hunk who knows how to treat me.
It
was a boy next door type who knows how to treat me, sweetie.
Think he was talentless necessarily.
I heard boy next door and turned it into talentless hunk.
All he can do is make soup.
This hunk is so talentless.
Babe, want more soup?
Wow. It's funny because that's all I aspire to be as a talentless hunk.
You're so hot, but your soup is so bad. You're so fucking talentless.
I've got three different vats in here, babe. It's all different variations of chili soups.
You're gorgeous, but you don't know what you're doing.
Be so gorgeous and hunky, you'd have to be at least talented at, like, I don't know, like combing your hair or something.
Or brushing your teeth.
I don't know.
Honey, I love you. Here's some Italian wedding soup that I made.
The beans are still in the can inside the soup.
I love you most ardently. Please slurp my gazpacho.
You served it with a fork and knife, you hot idiot.
Let's call it slurp. Go on.
Okay, so what's the punishment?
They can't have hot liquids.
Yeah, they can't have hot liquids.
And that talentless boy next door is going to be preparing all their meals.
It's
going to
be their sous chef.
Free of hot water. And stock. Okay. No stock.
Great. So ordered. Our next case comes from Lux. To the glam judges and the bailiff, I am seeking a judgment for a case that has not happened yet.
Okay.
I am planning my first in-person one-shot in 3 years. Mm. It is going to start at an auction house and probably end in a battle between large groups on the ruins of a civilization on a giant tortoise.
Cool.
I've been building a detailed world for a very long time.
Hmm.
And in the final battle, I want to make the fact that there are big forces at play seem fair to my players. I plan to have them roll to see how many new combatants enter the battlefield each turn. Think D20 Mind Flayer Thralls, for example. Mm-hmm. The point will not be to kill all the combatants. Instead, it will be to secure the artifacts stolen from the auction. But I don't plan to actually tell my players how to win. Am I a cruel and reprehensible DM for setting up a final battle where all my players could die if they don't think critically? Mm-hmm. P.S. I plan to leave lots of breadcrumbs on how to emerge victorious, so please punish my players somehow. P.P.S. I don't actually play. Hate the show.
Damn. Okay.
This sounds incredibly ambitious for a one-shot.
Yeah, I feel like this is classic one-shot mistake of, like, you've written a campaign.
Yeah. Right.
But, I don't know. We're used to playing for episodes where we had to, like, cut things together and everything. Sometimes people sit and play for 12 hours, which is kind of the at-home way to play.
Yeah, if you're... I mean, it seems fun to, like, start so small at an opera house, and then, like, by the end, you're like... in this cosmic battle on the back of a turtle. That seems like a fun reveal.
It does seem very cool.
I'm picturing the music changes. It sounds great. Yeah, very Discworld. Yeah.
I am a little bit confused. So the DM here is saying that things are going to be stolen from the auction house. There's going to be a battle on the back of a tortoise.
With multiple factions.
With multiple factions, but it's not going to be clear that the goal is to get the artifacts back.
This DM is basically saying, like, there's going to be a huge, like, battlefield war type thing where mm-hmm. there's constantly new combatants, and the only way to actually win is to secure the artifact, not fight anybody.
I mean, that seems easy enough to like hint to your players during the battle.
Yeah, I would.
I would encourage you to think of, because right now what you're describing, I would encourage you to think of ways to make sure that the PCs still feel like an active part of this battle.
Yeah. Right.
Because when you have a ton of factions,
basically, it feels like there's only one answer.
Yeah, you don't want your PCs sitting there while you have your bad guys fight each other.
Yeah.
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 So I feel like if you're setting up something with a bunch of factions and also saying that maybe the objective is to not fight.
It seems so. I think you're kind of doing yourself a little bit of a disservice because you don't want your players to think that you're setting up anything unfair. Mm-hmm. So you're setting up all this fun stuff, like they roll to see how many enemy combatants there are in the different factions and everything. That's all very cool. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're going to do all that stuff in front of the table, you are doing yourself a little disservice if you're not going to have not even little breadcrumbs. If you're not going to like really wink and kind of like almost actually say what the players should do, they might just be standing there spinning their wheels. If the players don't know what to do, that's not fun.
I think the trick here, and I'm realizing that this submitter just tricked us into giving them advice. How dare you?
Well, we will punish them. Yeah. We will punish them. Because they did say they hated the show.
Because they've never played the
show. What's your end game here? What is your fucking end game?
But where are you like, coming from?
They mentioned like a relic, and I think that's cool. I think like you need to like divide this into two sections. Like you've got the auction house, and like once your players have the relic and like that's secured, then everybody's coming for them, and you can do it like a chase battle. But like everybody is focused on them, so they're still the focus. It's not like you've got like factions fighting against each other or anything like that. I think you have to like have that clear shift, and like that's when like the wheels can come off, but you're putting new wheels on, so it's fine.
That's a really good idea, too, because once the relic is in their possession and then they see bad guys coming for it, they're like, okay, this is a powerful relic. We need to keep it safe from these bad guys, rather than there's an auction. Here's this thing. No one knows what's going on.
Yeah. And then it's like you run and run and run and oops, you almost fall off the side of a turtle. All the other enemies fall off the side of a turtle except for one. Be bad. There you go. Then your final battle begins.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels like this DM is like, there's a possibility that all of my players could die if they choose the wrong thing. And it feels like committing to that is an error.
Like, I think so.
Letting everybody die in this battle that's completely hopeless.
I think let the dice kill your players, not necessarily
Like making a tough battle and it's like somebody dies on the way to in the middle of a quest of like they're like reaching for something or they're trying to get the MacGuffin that they need to end the battle. That's a satisfying death. Whereas just being like, okay, I'm standing here and there's 10 mind flayers. They all hit me. I made the mistake of standing here and trying to fight them one round and now I'm dead. What was I supposed to do? Oh, okay. Well, I'm already dead. So that's that, I guess. Okay. Like if the player shrugs their shoulders after they're dead, that's not going to be good.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. See you guys later. You should have got the artifact. I'll Venmo everyone for the snacks.
And let me know if you loved this one shot and you want to continue it into a multi-shot,
right? I've got a
whole
turtle world built.
A turtle world.
We've only scratched the surface of the shell.
Yeah, but it's you got a lot of fun details here.
Yeah. It sounds really fun. And I agree. Like, don't be afraid to make it clear because they're still going to fuck up even if it's clear. And the dice are still going to complicate things and there's still going to be hurdles.
And let me tell you, if you save all of that like bigger cosmological stuff for the end, ooh, that's going to be a tasty tease. And then you're going to get yourself what you want, what I think you secretly want. Is a full-time session.
Right. That's what I'm thinking is like you're almost setting yourself up to have it be only a one-shot. Yeah. What if everyone's vibing and having a great time?
The punishment is that it has to be a full campaign.
Yeah. So we're going to roll against you because...
We're going to punish you and say you have too much prepared for a one-shot.
Yeah.
This works better so as a campaign, So we think it should be
you
a
need
campaign.
To cancel your trip to Venice because you're going to be running this weekly for the next year.
Yeah, twice a week, actually.
Yeah. Twice a week. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. And so ordered. And with that, let us step into church together.
We're going to baptize you. You're a baby.
Yes.
Oh, I would love that. Jake. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead. How does it go?
How does baptizing?
I've never splashing with water.
Yeah, I actually have.
There's been like a baptized. Little like
cistern. You say some stuff.
Uh huh.
Great.
I don't recall it. It was a long time ago that I was baptized.
You don't remember your baptism?
No.
I remember my baptism because I got baptized when I was in like middle school because I was going to church to hang out with my friends and then I got baptized and it was a really weird experience. I don't remember what they said. All I remember was water dripping down my face and not knowing if I was allowed to wipe it away.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So I could actually set the record for latest baptism in the NADPOD group.
You could. I'm currently holding. I'm currently clutching that record. Okay.
Em's always bragging about how old she was when she got baptized.
For the 1 year of my life that I went to church and my parents were like, why is she going to church now?
Guys.
To hang out with Amy and Andrea.
We could have the worst live show ever where we just baptize Jake and do nothing else.
Jesus. The one show I'm a no-show for. Okay. Christina writes, may it please the court and the church, I come prostrating myself with a Dice Christ confessional. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am a DM, and when planning my encounters, I often find myself underestimating my players. Mm. They often roll so well that they are absolutely whomping me. So behind the screen, during the battle, to ensure that the fight won't end so fast, I buff the enemy's HP. This has never caused a player death or anything, but it haunts me knowing I buffed the enemy while the battle has already begun. Should I just have had faith and received Dice Christ's royal whomping? Can I be forgiven?
Oh, my friend, we are siblings in sin. I have done this too. Flay me before the court and the church. Lay bare the strips of my flesh.
Hey, damn, I let this guy baptize me.
I don't know what part of church this was.
Let the sin that boils underneath bleed out. I don't know. I'm getting a little intense here. Sorry.
This was not my experience with my era. There was a rock band, and the pharmacist was the lead singer, Christy.
There was a rock band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
And the pharmacist was the lead singer?
Yeah, a pharmacist named Christy was the lead singer.
Christy. That's so cool.
I still
remember.
I see
why middle schoolers wanted to hang out at this church that you hung out at.
And you got baptized in Baja Blast.
Yeah.
They shot it from a t-shirt cannon.
Anyway.
That's sick. Synagogue was not that cool. But it was definitely cooler than Caldwell's church.
Yeah, like. I would say I think that, you know, you've been sufficiently whomped. You should have taken your first whomping. And then in the future, you homebrew your guys. You have more HP specifically going into the battle. I very rarely use just straight out of the book monsters. I always have them tailored to, you know, like what I think would be like a good encounter.
Yeah.
I would say if you let them womp you, then you learn like where they're at too.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. And also,
take a couple wompings and then you come in better prepared for future battles.
If your players do like, you know, 200 damage a round or something like that, and you come in with, you know, like a 100 HP bad guy or something and just gets womped, that's just funny. That's just, you know, you just take your womping that one time. And then the next time, if the big bad has like 300 HP, and let's say the players still somehow manage to take him down in two rounds, that still feels satisfying because your players are sitting there being like, well, I crit and this person crit and we did all of this damage, and they get to really feel like they did something. So this will not feel dissatisfying if you just get this stuff done before the session.
Yeah.
Would be my suggestion.
I guess just think about it this way. You are the one that is giving your players all the little treats and levels and boons. You're making them monsters, so you got to make your monsters tougher too.
Yeah, it's true. Nice. Yeah, so the balance stuff in the DM's guide is like pretty off.
Yeah, that stuff is off, and I feel like, and I think the only reason I would suggest taking your wompings is that then you better learn how to make battles for that specific group.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about them womping the villain and the session ending too quickly, just have a party afterwards. Just have a party on the corpse of the villain.
And give them all talentless hunks to romance.
It's beautiful.
But so forgiven.
Babe,
I got the
chowder.
You've already suffered because you've taken away the fun of getting whomped. Getting whomped sometimes is fun. And then also, you know, again, beef the HP of the dudes beforehand. And then when your players do beat you, it'll feel cool. Like, instead of it just being Calvin Ball and just, you know, whatever happens.
True.
And with
so
that,
so forgiven.
So forgiven.
And we're going to wrap this
so
one up.
So forgiven.
Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to some bonus cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
I just want to double down on the Carnegie plug.
Yeah.
October 7th, it is going to be a fun-ass time.
Yes, there's going to be live music. We're going to be seeing characters from different campaigns. It's going to be super, super cool. Five-year anniversary show at Carnegie Hall in New York. So be on the lookout for that October 7th. We have other shows as well. Minneapolis on September 13th for Dungeon Court. We're going to be in Madison on September 14th.
Ooh,
Milwaukee
I'm going there.
On September 15th.
Yeah, I'm going to
Chicago
city.
On September 16th.
Ooh, I'm crossing the bridge.
And Chicago's a Dungeon Court. Los Angeles is
gonna take a boat there.
Also a Dungeon Court October 26th.
There's a lot of shows called.
I'm going to dig a little hole and I'm going to end up in that city.
People are going to have a hard time digesting the information. Denver is October 27th.
I'm skiing down the hill.
Sacramento is October 28th.
Taking a car.
Portland, Dungeon Court Live on October 29th.
Oh, big slingshot.
Las Vegas, November 10th.
Just rolling me out of a cup like
New
a Yahtzee
New Orleans,
dies.
November 14th. Orlando, November 15th, and a Dungeon Court Live in Fort
I'm not
Lauderdale.
Going to that one. I'm not going.
On November 17th.
Contractually, you have to be there.
I'm tired from the travel.
I hope you could digest
okay,
that
well, I'm
going to
put you in a Yahtzee. Ball and
no!
a Yahtzee cup and roll you on the stage.
I didn't.
You little scamp.
Well,
fire me out of a gun. I'll see you there.
Power through. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at CHMersMe, at Caldy Scaldwell, at Ashes Emily, and at Jake Hertz is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are
the youth of the nation.
We are.
The youth of the nation.
Beep beep, my car's so small.
Dungeon.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Cutter W., Feared Al, Daniel G., Katie G., Dungeon Mama, okay, maybe a little bit sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Vincent W., Victor T., a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I, Danny Danster, Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM, the Gnome Barbarian, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B, Daniel R, Jordan L, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Princess Yar, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now currently starring in anything in solidarity with the WGA and SAG-AFTRA. Thank you, Nicholas C. Mike H, Alka-Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Herodrian, Rex Daniel the White, Diana DL, CC Lulu, Timmy R, Lucas B, Ryko, It's Kevin, Calder Will Come Cold Again, Winter Is Coming, hashtag CCC Forever, shout out to my fairy followers, Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Mike K, Lady Taco, Victoria M, Bohemia's number one nail tech. Jake L, Nick W, Swashbuckling Swack Snagger, William W, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee Golf Bud, Ananarama, Percival Frederickstein, Von Musel Klausowski De Rolo III, Adom the Simple Dimples, J Dragonborn, Vincent Thrum As You Are D, The Sandrian, Ben A, Dave H, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's Assistant Izzy F, DPC Is Awesome, Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelboldar, Summer Rose, aka Grantaire, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Kel Slay, Misa of House and Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, aka Valet Sea Raptor, B Perky Always, Pat L, Lauren H, Talia, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, Ball Business Illustrator asking for a request, you know?
D&D courts are hard to think of things that are visually interesting, so why don't we say Princess Shiverblight on the stand, really sweating and clearly lying about something. Ploops, Carly A, Connor S, Salil, Leviathan, Bioquirt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sydney T, Jack H, Crabster Champion of Crod, scuttling sideways towards tomorrow. Afrex, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, and Nadcord presents a little picnic called Mangia's Central Park, October 7th, 3 p.m. Okay. Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Noah the Bagel of All Things, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Dandy, Eric B, Marcos, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, Freedom Allo, Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed Fae Prince, Until Halloween 2023, Stay Tuned, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Maggie S, the 2022 Spellcheck Champion, Holly Hyena, Christy Z, Leah C, Hunter H, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Dufinius, Cal, Just Cal, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Cody C, our friend Simon, trying to enlist the Silver Serpent, but her dreams are hard to comprehend, Keychain's Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kyra her busty queen, your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid, nope, sorry, just promoted to Mom and Dad, Baby Nadpole coming December, congrats, John Adams, yes, like the president, Meg the mail carrier, manager of Bohemia, who has gotten promoted due to her superb service to Simon, James F, M4L, Austin S, Wayfarer has now settled into their new life in the Fae realm as a florist, what could go wrong, Shane C, Barpo Goodbarrel, Barbarian, Mary Beth C says, see you all in Chicago and NYC. Thank you for joining us, Mary Beth C. Contender in the making, Welshlander, Garrett G, aka One Big Curd, Mr. D, Dana the Daisy, Sean J, Ethan B, Renee the Monster Captain, Box Clifton, the once in medium king, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mountain Crows, Winter Slade, Forrest H, aka Life is Like a Box of Martha Togold Sticky Buns, Riley S, Fico, Angry Wheat, Thrath, the Demon Lord of Spite, Anthony, the raddest of dudes who secured his Carnegie Hall tickets for himself and his lovely partner, Josh, the finest of dudes, Josh H, Mango Empanadas, Clementine T, Caleb L, support fairies say hi, hashtag Calder will come cold again, Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian, MJ the BFG drinking tea by the sea, Dogs of Babel, Calvia Silverfang, Gino T, Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself, nom 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 nom, and that's how she eats too, Funir, Bow Chicka Wow Wow, Derek D, Tristan G, Leon K, legendary hero of Bohemia from a future campaign, Alex K, Joshua P, Alexander, Linz W, Angel La Pamela Sandra hyphen Rita, Emma S, Red the Reforged Warforged, Dragon Knight 86, The Godly King, Hard Ones Hot Hump Gunk, Shelby, who now arrived in 2022 following the 2.2 crew in Tahumia, Jake S, Stale Bread on Salad, aka Crouton, Jackson R, T3RHX, Michelle, Andrew S, Nova B, the Deathcord Bard, Caitlin D, Zborb, Blake H, Big Bev's Bestie, Lloyd, the Rat that controls my cerebellum, Opa Remy from Ratatouille Style, Shelby C, Pawpaw Skydays, Meemaw Skydays, Haley the Human, Lord Dayman, Duke of the Dungeon, Megan N, the Big M, and finally, Bagpipes of Code. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our benevolent Council of Elders and our Patreon subscribers. You can listen to more Dungeon Court over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NEDDPOD. Until then, thank you to all of our listeners. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.